guys, Catherine Darling here. So I have decided to make episode 2 a chapter from my book. I have not figured out what to call this segment yet, but I would like to read you guys a chapter a week. And hopefully you guys can let me know what you think. Don't forget that in the notes for the podcast, that there is information on how to leave me a voice message, where my Facebook page is, so that way you can keep up with me and so you can keep up with everything else going on. So moving on now to this segment that I have no name for, to read you chapter 1 of Secrets. Thank you for listening. Secrets. Read by Catherine Darling. Chapter 1. She couldn't believe it. She just couldn't believe it. Reverie had just received a letter from her sister a few days ago, talking about the Davenport resistance breaching the veil, and now she was missing. She paced in the kitchen while Dylan, her roommate, searched the papers to see if any other kind of news had been spread through the town. Unfortunately, there wasn't. Everyone that was part of the resistance disappeared at the same time. Poppy Hollow had calmed down since the gale force winds yesterday. They usually signaled a massive change, but she should have known something was wrong. There were signs everywhere, but she had chosen to ignore them. She ignored them like she had tried to ignore her sister. She had to pretend that they didn't exist. She couldn't do that now. There was a living and breathing reminder of her sister upstairs. A reminder that they were forever a target. Reverie thought her niece was one of the most beautiful babies she had ever seen. She could never admit that out loud. She especially couldn't do it around Dylan. He had pushed her so far into the woods of Oberlin Marsh that sometimes she longed to be back in Poppy Hollow. She missed the danger and uncertainty. She missed the wooden walls of her makeshift cabin on the outskirts of town. She missed the garden that she had worked on and lived off of for years. She longed for the cool shade that large oak trees gave to her small home in the summer and the protection from certain natural disasters. Those were memories that she had to give up. Even though she had screamed when she found Janie on the doorstep, she was actually quite happy to see her niece. She had just wished that her sister had been attached to her. She wasn't. She never could be again. At least, not until they found them. She still held the tiniest shred of hope that they would find her sister and her brother-in-law. They needed to find them for Janie's sake. She remembered the last time she had spoken to her sister. They were going to plan a birthday party for Janie, but Dylan rejected the thought.
"You promised me you wouldn't be around them. You could cause more harm than good by inviting them into our house. I forbid it," he had shouted.
She could still hear Dylan's thunderous yells from that morning she suggested it in her ears. Dylan had never been accepting of the situation, and Reverie always pretended to agree. Truth was that she had settled for Dylan, and she was forced into the decision to go about the rest of her life pretending to be unaccepting towards her sister and her husband, Celeste and Mick. All because of a mishap that she couldn't bear to think about now. She had to pretend to hate Celeste's friends that she really enjoyed. One more so than the rest. All of these thoughts and past fights flew through her mind and drained her spirit. She heard a high-pitched cry coming from upstairs. It broke her train of thought immediately. She almost welcomed the alarming distraction.
knew it was Janie. She had been pretty vocal all day. No doubt she missed her mother. Reverie wasn't as familiar as Celeste was, but she was like her in many ways. They were almost the same, and she was sure the heartbeat of a mortal was similar to that of a fairy. Whether you were part of the fae or not, when you didn't have a mother, everything was thrown off. It is even worse for a child of her age. Dylan huffed loudly and looked to her with a scowl on his face. His lips twitched with anger, and he looked like he was ready to yell. His bloodshot eyes were wide and wild as they bore holes into her. Reverie put her hands up to reassure him that she was the one to go upstairs and check on her. He slouched back in his chair to finish the paper. She climbed the stairs quickly so that the cries would dissipate faster. When she arrived, her cries had slowed to sniffles mixed with hiccups. Janie was frantically looking around for someone to hold her, and her blonde curls bobbed with her head movements. She had pulled herself up enough into the makeshift crib to look around, and that was when she spotted Reverie. Her eyes were red from crying, and she stretched out her arms. Reverie obliged quickly. Janie snuggled under her chin, and her breathing hitched as she tried to calm down. She placed her thumb in her mouth as Reverie shushed her gently. To add an extra sense of calm to the distressed child, Reverie rubbed Janie's back gently. She softly sang a song that she used to sing to Celeste when she couldn't sleep at night.
Far past the hollows and down to the willows, there'll be a morrow in sight. No one will find you there, not even the creatures at night. Just like now, you're safe in my arms. Let sleep take you on that magical flight.
A cerulean glow hovered over Janie and instantly calmed her. Reverie knew how to be caring, and she knew how to be protective. She didn't always have the powers that she had now. In fact, there were very few people who knew about that secret. As Janie calmed down, the light diminished. She grabbed Janie's blanket from the crib. As she did, several bars fell from the gate and almost threatened to wake her from her slumber. She needed to work on a more sturdy crib, but this wasn't a planned visit. She wrapped the blanket around Janie and held her tight to her chest. Reverie debated on spending the night with her to keep her calm and comfortable. Janie was listening to her heartbeat, as well as the light hum of the song that Reverie continued to sing. She rocked her soothingly and prayed that the spell would keep Janie calm for a little while. Dylan wasn't exactly the paternal type. She continued humming the simple tune while she listened to the creaks and groans that came with the age of the home. She owed Celeste more than this, but it's all she could do. It's all she knew how to do for the time being. There were soft taps on the window, and she whirled around to see a man hovering outside of the window, with crimson wings that flapped slowly in the light wind. She recognized him, but she wished she hadn't. He shouldn't be here, especially not while Dylan was awake. She looked around her to make sure the door was shut before opening the window slightly. She didn't even get to ask what he wanted before he pleaded with her.
"Please, let me in," he begged sadly.
"Rhett," she started.
His voice cracked.
She sighed heavily before unlatching the window. She pushed it open slightly, but trying to be careful not to wake Janie.
He climbed through, retracting his wings and removing his dark leather jacket. His hair was still somewhat long and wild, like she had remembered it. Her fingers tingled with sensations that she hadn't felt in years. The urge to run her fingers through his hair once more was a little more overpowering than she had imagined it would be. She hadn't seen him since her sister's wedding, and even then, it had been too much. It was still a little awkward between them, but she had to push past it for Janie's sake. "Don't get comfortable. You can't stay long," Reverie warned. She knew that if Dylan could hear her voice, that he would be up there in an instant. Every closet was so full that she would have nowhere to hide him. She couldn't stand the thought of Rhett and Dylan arguing again and then upsetting the baby more than she already was. It just wasn't worth the headache. "I can't visit my goddaughter?" he questioned. Rhett Dover tucked a stray piece of hair behind his ear and came closer to analyze Janie. It had only been 3 years, but they had worn him out, and he was not the same 22-year-old she remembered. Of course, neither one of them were the same. He brushed some of Janie's blonde hair back with his fingers and smiled at her sadly. "Of course you can," she sighed, rocking her gently. "But I don't know how she appeared on my doorstep. My appearance must be known in Oberlin Marsh, and if the Veil find me, then she's not safe here either. We're trying to stay on the right side of this war." The letter that had been left with her held no information. It was a torn piece of old parchment that held the word thanks in a cryptic old written fey language. "Little thief," he called her. "You know that you aren't allowed to call me that," she hissed. "Why not?" he questioned, clearly curious. "I'm supposed to be playing happy family here, Rhett. We can't blow my cover," she said a little louder than she wanted. She bit her lip a little and squeaked as she looked from the still sleeping baby to the cracked door. She opened the door a little more to see if she heard any signs of movement, but the only thing she could hear were heavy snores from Dylan, who must have fallen asleep reading the paper. That's all he ever did. He came home with incredibly boring stories while sitting in his boring recliner, reading the boring news. The only excitement that had happened in the papers were the wedding announcements or the incredibly gusty winds that happened the day her sister and Mick disappeared. She longed for excitement, the uncertainty of the future. She wanted things to go back to the way they used to be. "Don't remind me. All I need is for you to remind me how you're playing house with someone else and that he is the most boring mortal you could find," Rhett threw his hands up. Reverie placed a finger to his lips in order to shush him and closed the door all the way so she could lock it. Janie, still wrapped in Celeste's old blanket, was set down carefully so that she wouldn't wake Reverie. Sighed when she caught a glimpse of the defeat etched into his gentle features. She had seen this look before on him, and she hated being the one that caused it. "This isn't easy for me either. You and I couldn't get married, Rhett. Your family wouldn't allow you to marry a mortal. It's one of the most important rules of the Veil, and in order to keep everyone safe, I have to hold up my end of the bargain. If I was allowed to listen to my heart and not the government that kept us apart, we could... I don't even want to say it. Unfortunately, here we are in the middle of a war without your best friend and without my sister." She choked out the last part, the tears stinging the corner of her doe-like eyes. Her life had been such a whirlwind over the past 24 hours that she hadn't let the thought of Celeste's absence sink in quite yet. It was doing a fair job making itself known in front of Rhett. The soft rustle of a blanket reminded them that there was still a baby in the room. Janie was tossing around and sucking her thumb gingerly as she dreamed deeply. Despite the burning tears and unexpected situation, Reverie could smile at the innocence of this baby. She looks just like her, Rhett said softly, thumbing Janie's hair out of her face again. She has her nose. It's the Peters nose, you know. She noted thoughtfully. I know, he answered. Their eyes locked for a second. This was where they wanted to be. But sometimes where you want to be would cause more harm than good. Janie needed to be somewhere safe, and this was the only place for her. Most of the people that knew where they would be were now dead or missing. When was the last time you talked to them? Rhett asked. The last time I talked to them in person was the day of my supposed engagement, and the last time I talked to my sister was earlier this week. We were going to plan a birthday party for Janie, but Dylan put his foot down, Reverie sighed, giving Janie a sweet kiss on the forehead. Even his name is boring, Rhett hissed. Are you here for any other reason other than to insult my unwelcome roommate and visit your goddaughter? Reverie snapped. The air was quiet around them. It was uncomfortable. Still, even though the tension was thick, he could get her heart beating faster than any other. Goosebumps rose on her arms and she shivered. There must have been a draft. I didn't come to fight with you, he said stiffly. No, of course not. You don't speak to me for a couple of years, but you don't want to fight, Reverie snapped. She analyzed Janie before laying her back down in the crib. She felt horrible for not having something proper for her to sleep in, but this was all she had. She wasn't prepared to take care of a child at the age of 26. She didn't know how her sister had been managing at the age of 24. What did the letter say? Rhett wondered. It said thanks in some form of old fae. I couldn't read it. Dylan had to read it to me. Reverie's eyebrows furrowed. Who could that have been? Rhett asked curiously. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that written out since my parents had been alive. My father would always have encrypted documents that he brought home. That's been years, Reverie informed him. This isn't good, Rhett said sadly. What do you think it could be? She asked, twirling the ends of her hair nervously. I have an idea, but I'm not sure that I'm right.
Bad?
Definitely not good.
The awkward silence that they usually suffered through was broken with a sharp intake of breath as her hands were caressed by his. The familiar sensation that tingled her senses around him returned. She stiffened.
Rhett, this breaks the rules, she hissed. I think it's horrible to live by the rules, he said quietly.
We took that oath, Reverie started.
What are oaths if not made to be broken? Rhett questioned, running a thumb over the soft curvature between her fingers.
I wish I could see it that way. I can't risk breaking anything with Janie here. I'm all she has now, besides you. Why didn't you get her over me? You're her godfather, she argued, reluctantly removing her hands from his while turning to plop in the rocking chair.
Little thief, he started. Don't.
I don't think there is anything you can say to make this better. I'm going to be on the run for the rest of my life, and so will she. We all are until this war is over.
Janie needed her.
She needed her to do everything that she could to keep her safe.
Where will you go next? He asked quietly.
Not sure. Hollyfield seems to be a good place to go. I could always go back to my house in Poppy Hollow. She laughed sarcastically.
Poppy Hollow isn't safe right now. That's the last place the resistance was seen. You need to move west.
Then west we will go, she answered, looking over at the map hanging from the wall.
What would you have done differently?
he questioned, coming to crouch next to her near the rocking chair.
To have said yes when you asked me to marry you. To defy every existence known to man. To have kept in contact with my sister more than I had. To have been present in Janie's life as the wonderful aunt that she would have seen often. This is all because I'm not of the Fae. I was a mortal who was disowned by my family. This is my bed, Rhett, she said simply. She wished she could have said yes to him, but the repercussions of it would have been far too great. The court rejected the very thought. She slipped and showed her true colors to the wrong people. She wasn't willing to be on the constant run from the veil and keep him running with her. Is love worth that? She half wondered if she should have changed her mind. If she had known that she would have been on the run anyway, then she would have chosen him.
At least I know you still love me, he said with a half smile.
I could never not love you. You are my first for all things. I would rather have had all of those experiences with you than with anyone else, she smiled sadly, leaning over from the chair to give him a sweet kiss on the cheek. He dodged the light peck and gave her a full, earth-shattering kiss right there in the nursery. It was as familiar as it had always been, and in that moment, she needed the familiarity. She needed the danger and the spontaneity. He thread his long fingers through her dark tresses and deepened the kiss, but only as far as she would let him. The kiss did come to an unfortunate end, and he rested his forehead against hers.
I had to do that one last time, he whispered, and sighed heavily as he willed himself away from her.
Last? She questioned.
You never know. Besides, we did take an oath, he said with a sly smile.
What are oaths if not made to be broken? He kissed her again, but this time it was light. He was holding back. She could feel it. When they parted, she nodded in response, but she was still breathless. Reverie felt the tears sting the corner of her eyes. She wanted it again and again, but they couldn't. That made her want it even more.
I may come to see her a couple more times in the next week. Let me know if you leave town, he said, his wings spreading slowly behind him.
You know where we'll be heading if we're not here, she said with a sad smile.
My little thief, he remarked, sweeping a stray tear from her cheek.
You only call me that when I've stolen something.
You did, a long time ago, he whispered.
He planted a kiss on her lips smoothly and gently. She relished again in the feeling of familiarity, but just as quick as it came, it was gone. He had left. The questions and uncertainty would remain. They had a role to play, and there was no time for interruptions. Just as the thought left her mind, Janie began to cry again. She swept over to pick her up and resume her role as her guardian. She rocked Janie until she had drifted off to sleep for the third time that evening. That's when her mind settled on that last kiss. She remembered when she first received a kiss from Rhett Dover. Many girls had considered that a delicacy. She remembered everything. She closed her eyes and drifted to her memories. She wished she could live in them. She didn't fall asleep, but she wanted to remember why she loved him so much. And the first time they met felt like ages ago.
You've been listening to Tea with Katie. Thank you for stopping by. Don't forget to check out the notes section in the podcast area.